Hello, listeners. My name is Luke Schaefer, and you are listening to How Do I Get Your Job on the UW Soundbite Network. This is a show where we talk about interesting careers, how people got them, and how you, the listener, can take steps down a similar path. If you haven't picked a major yet or you're still on the fence, do not worry. The show is made just for you. Today, I'm speaking with UW screenwriting professor and author Mr. Sean Wong. Sean is the only guest to come on the show so far with his own Wikipedia page, and I sincerely hope you check it out before you listen to this episode, because he's an accomplished author and screenwriter based right here at the UW, and he's the only one I've met, so he's probably the only one. His screenplay, based on his own novel, Americanese, won big at the South by Southwest Film Festival back in 2006, and today he's going to discuss his experience getting into the film industry and what prospective screenwriters can learn from his beginner and advanced classes here at UW. So sit tight, and as always, I sincerely hope you enjoy. All right, you are listening to How Do I Get Your Job on UW Soundbite Network. I am Luke Schaefer, and today I'm talking with novelist and UW screenwriting professor Sean Wong. Sean, how are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. Gonna have a sort of a laid-back episode today because I think that screenwriting as a profession is not a very defined path. I'd say that there's no textbook way to get a screenwriting degree and line up and become a screenwriter. I just remember from your class, which I took last summer, at the UW, your experience as a writer and getting into the film industry was very unique, and I think it's something listeners would want to know about.
Yeah, it's a. You're right. There's no direct path to being a screenwriter. I think all the screenwriters that I know stumbled into it through other sort of literary forms. They were novelists first, or they were some other kind of writer, and were asked to work on a film project, and ended up kind of falling into screenwriting. I guess the thing that you bring to screenwriting is that gets you into the business is of being a good storyteller. If you can construct and tell a story, there's a place for you in screenwriting.
Wonderful. Would you like to talk about, prior to your screenwriting, the books you've written?
Yeah, I've published a couple of novels. The last one was made into a movie. I didn't really want to write the screenplay, but the producer asked me to write it, and so I did. Obviously, I knew the material well. I wrote a couple of drafts of the screenplay, more or less to help the producer find money. It's an independent film production. Help her find the money to fund the project, and eventually she found all of the money from one particular investor. And we went out looking for a director, and we hired a director. And once we hired a director, the director wanted to write his own screenplay. So I said, fine, you're the director. I think he wanted the movie to say written and directed by, you know, the director's name is Eric Beiler. And it was an interesting process. I think the thing I love about screenwriting is how collaborative a project is. You know, as a novelist, you know, you're sitting there stuck in your little room in front of your computer and all by yourself in isolation. Trying to deliver your product. But in screenwriting, you're working with sometimes dozens of people, other writers, the director, cameraman, actors, producers. It's really a great, it's actually a great way to work as a writer.
Okay. I feel like many people who try to pursue screenwriting as a path, like I said, there's no defined path. You sort of fell into it. How exactly did you become a screenwriter, especially? Because I know that you wrote several publications, I believe in the 1970s. Sorry, yeah. This is all going off of memory.
When I was a grad student at San Francisco State in creative writing, there was a notice that a children's television producer was looking for 8-minute dramas on peer group pressure. And so I wrote a couple of film treatments, a couple of synopses of 2 episodes of peer group pressure. And she flew out from New York and was interviewing writers. And I remember she interviewed me, and she said she liked the story ideas that I presented to her. They were just in prose form. And she said to me during the interview, have you ever written a screenplay? And I looked her right in the eye, and I said, yes, of course. And of course, it was a total lie. And she says, well, if you can write up these screenplays for me, we'll take it to the next level and see if we'll produce them. And so I ran to the library at San Francisco State and got a book on how to write a screenplay. And I put my story into screenplay form. And they bought them both. And so the next step was they were both to be filmed in San Francisco's Chinatown using kids. And they were using a local film company to shoot the films. And so I told the New York producer, I said, well, you know, you just can't walk into Chinatown, you know, and start making a movie. You know, you might need somebody to act as a production consultant or liaison. And I hinted at the fact that you might need to know Chinese, you know, it's a kind of a closed community. Of course, none of that was true. And plus, I didn't speak Chinese. But she said, okay, you're hired to be the production consultant on this film. And my only intent was really to be part of the film crew so that it was like going to film school for free. I'd never been on a film production before. And so I actually did my job that she hired me for. I found the locations, I found the actors. I did everything that was required of a production assistant, and it turned out really great. It was a really great experience and a great education. I'm not telling everybody to lie, but you know, if you're a writer, you look for your opportunities, and you look for what you think are the tools that you're going to need in your writer's toolkit. And when that opportunity came along, I just jumped at the chance, and I learned a lot, you know, and that's not something you can get in a classroom.
I think that that anecdote is something I really remembered from your class, because as such a hard industry to crack, it seemed like the way you got in was just, your advice was deception at the time, is what it sounded like, but rather it's just out hopping at those opportunities when they present themselves.
Yeah.
I want to know, because
instead of deception, we'll just call that confidence.
Sure. I remember saying you did not actually ever go to film school. You got a bachelor's in English, I want to say. And what is your advice on, I guess, just film classes in general at the UW? Because in my experience, they're focused much less on the production aspect and more on the study aspect. Your class in screenwriting, I feel, was the most hands-on of all the film classes I've taken here.
Yeah, I mean, at an academic institution like the UW, you're mostly studying film theory rather than production, for example. You can find classes on production, but in my screenwriting class, it's really about trying to structure a story and to tell a story effectively. And probably the best advice I can give, if you want to be a screenwriter, read some screenplays. You know, just keep reading screenplays over and over and learning the form. Many of my students, after they graduate from the UW, many of them don't go to film school. You know, I would say half of them do, or maybe less than half, because it's so expensive. And the other students who want to break into film get a job with a production company. And most of them start, I always tell my students, you can get a job as a screenwriter. That's not really that difficult, you know, because it is so collaborative. But you have to start at the bottom. you have to start at the very entry level job with any production company you can get a hold of. A friend of mine got a entry level production job with James Cameron down in L.A. You know, the maker of Titanic and Avatar. And her job was essentially making photocopies of scripts, running to Starbucks to get coffee for everybody, and answering the phones. But it was like going to film school for free. You know, she was able to go on the sets. The industry people were all around her, and Cameron eventually, you know, kept promoting her, you know, to from gopher to, you know, assistant producer to associate producer, and then eventually to producer. She learned the system, you know, within his system, and made a career for herself. You know, same thing with another friend of mine who won an Oscar for a documentary. She never went to film school. You know, she found a subject that she was passionate about and surrounded herself with talented people. And she became the producer and the writer of the documentary, but eventually learned the craft, right? And she broke into directing that way. So I have a number of students who, you know, who are starting out that way. They might work in the film industry for a while at those entry-level jobs, and then, or they are interning. But then they also, at some point, some of them decide, okay, I do need to go to film school, but now I know exactly what I want to pursue. You know, I know enough about the industry that I can kind of target the thing that I'm motivated to do and to get the most out of film school.
That's remarkable. Yeah, I feel like, at least in my application to the UW, the question of whether I should go to film school or not was very much up in the air. And from a lot of filmmakers, they told me, please don't go unless you know what you want to do. I want to talk more about your experience on set and on the film you worked on, American Ease, which I believe you told me premiered at South by Southwest.
Yeah, my novel, American Ease, was made into a film, and it was really an interesting process because the producer kept me involved all the way through. Probably the most interesting thing about the process was once the funding was secure, then the process really moved along really quickly. You know, once a director was hired, it was quite interesting. We had one, our major investor is a TV cable executive named John Tsie, and he was committed. He's Chinese American. He was committing to putting Asian American stories on the screen. And when we approached him on our film, he said, "I'll pay for the whole thing." You know? He goes, "I'll pay for the whole thing. And this is a great story." And we said, "Great." He goes, I have one stipulation." And producer and I said, "Well, what's that stipulation?" And he says, "My daughter plays the lead." Suddenly it got very Hollywood on us, you know? And we go, "Who's your daughter?" And he says, "My daughter's name is Allison C., you know, and this particular main character is a half Asian, half white young woman, and his daughter is half Chinese and half Italian. And roles for Asian American actors are few and far between, you know, really substantial roles that don't cater to just the stereotype. And so, you know, you're faced with having an angel on this shoulder saying, you know, stick to your principles, you know, say no. There are no stipulations, right? And then there's a devil on this side of your shoulder talking in your ear saying, "You spent 9 years looking for funding. How bad could she be? Take the money." take the money. We did a little research, saw some things that she was in. She was in a play at that time, and she was pretty good. You know, we took the money. and then she turned out to be the perfect person, right?
Oh, good.
So she came on, but it also meant that she became the executive producer. And so when we started looking for a director, I wanted a female director, like Asian American female director. It's an Asian American story. You know, I wanted a female director as a romantic comedy. You know, I wanted somebody like Meera Nair, you know, who made Monsoon Wedding. And Allison C. says, I'd like to hire my ex-boyfriend, Eric Beiler. And I'm going, wow, when does this Hollywood nepotism end? You know, obviously it never ends. luckily, Eric had made a movie already, and it was pretty good, you know, and he's also half Asian. So, you know, we didn't have to sit around explaining the racial issues to either one of them. And it turned out he is the perfect director for our film. We really lucked out, even though I question the fact. I mean, what woman would hire her ex-boyfriend to do anything, right? There's a reason why they're their ex-boyfriend. But, you know, we went into it with that sort of a kind of blind innocence. But it worked out. It worked out really well. The film went to several film festivals. You know, we were the only film to win 2 awards at South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas, including the Audience Award for Best Feature Film and Best Ensemble Cast. So we were doing something right. And also, the late Roger Ebert reviewed the film when we were in Chicago, and he loved it. He loved the film. He gave us 3.5 out of 4 stars. And I remember reading his film review on the sidewalk in Chicago early in the morning. You know, it's just like in the old movies. I ran to the newsstand because I knew he had been at the screening. I ran to the newsstand. I bought the Chicago Sun-Times. I opened it up in front of the newsstand, and I started reading his review of my movie. And it was a rave. It was so exciting.
I feel like that's the kind of story that like would-be screenwriters dream about, is reading Ebert's great review on a sidewalk out in the city. I think that when you have thoughts like that and those kind of aspirations, it's really hard to get started on a screenplay. I've started and never been able to finish a number of features. I want to know, what is your advice to someone who's really on the fence about starting a screenplay, and what pointers can you sort of give them?
Well, I would say that you have to have a good sense of story. You know, you have to have something to say. You know, here's my story. And by writing this story, it shows what it is I'm trying to learn, not what it is I already know. You know, this is so important. Everything I write is, you can see what it is I'm trying to learn, not only about the craft and the structure, but also the topic, right? Rather than just sitting around writing something that I know, you know, too well. So story is really the thing that drives everything. The second thing, I think, is in terms of just the writing part, I've been lucky. Every script that I've written has been filmed. I haven't written a lot of them, but they've all been filmed and produced. So the other thing that I try to write the script in one sitting. I do a lot of preparation ahead of time. So like for a short film, I'll try to write the whole thing all at once. You know, it might take me all day, you know, to do like a 15-minute short film. but it helps me just sort of live with all the characters, have them talking to me, and it doesn't come out great. It's often overwritten, there's too much dialogue, stuff like that, but I'm just trying to get the characters straight in my head. Right? Elmore Leonard, the great mystery writer, once said that every book he writes for 100 pages with no plot. You know, all he's doing is writing the characters. They're just talking to each other. And then he says at the end of 100 pages, he knows which character is capable of murder. and then he designs the plot. And so in screenwriting, it's the same thing. You know, you're trying to figure out who these people are and what they're capable of in your story. And so the last feature film that I wrote it in 3 days. It's technically not in all one sitting, but, you know, I just wrote 100 pages script in 3 days. And it's mostly just, who are these people that are in my world and what do they do and how do they talk to each other and what is their relationship? And so as a screenwriter, you're sort of a method actor too. You have to inhabit all these different characters. And then later you kind of put the plot in and start to, you know, polish it and fix the structure. But the characters drive the story. And so I think that's the first thing.
Would you say that's sort of the focal point of your class? This podcast sort of serves as a way to sort of introduce professors and get students into classes they might not normally want to try. What can you tell us about your class at UW? I know you teach both beginner, which I've taken, and advanced, which I haven't, in screenwriting. What's the difference really between those two?
As a screenwriter, actually, all you need is basic screenwriting and beginning class. It's an interesting profession. You just need one class in order to be a screenwriter. Once you learn the form, and you have you understand the form, and you understand the film grammar, you're a screenwriter. It's really interesting, and it's really interesting if you just understand the basics of screenwriting, that it's about drama, and that you're supposed to create drama, and that you're supposed to show that drama, not tell it. It's amazing how many screenwriters have to be reminded that's their job, you know, is to create drama. And understanding how to create drama is just something you have to keep telling yourself over and over. And so in my beginning class, as you know, a student, and the other thing is it's highly collaborative. And so one of the things that I stress in the beginning screenwriting class is that everybody works in a collaborative fashion. They work in screenwriting teams, and they help each other, you know, through the process of screenwriting. As if they're what I'm trying to do is reproduce the writer's room, you know, the if you're working on episodic television series, you know, you're working in a room with other writers and coming up with ideas, and that kind of collaborative back and forth, creative back and forth, is something that we try to learn in beginning screenwriting. I always ask this question at the end of my students, you know, would you have written a better script by yourself? You know, and I would say 90% of them say, no, I couldn't have written a better script by myself. You have 10% of the students with big egos who say, yeah, I could have written a better script by myself. And then in advanced screenwriting, we do adaptations in beginning screenwriting. We take existing short stories and then have the students adapt them to film. In advanced screenwriting, students write their own original scripts, short films about 20 minutes long. But they also work in teams, too, to help each other. The students produce a trailer for their film, which sort of captures the story and sets up the story. The trailers are really fun to make. I don't expect them to be super polished, but just envisioning how a trailer for your film would look is a great exercise. But probably the most gratifying things of both of my classes is sometimes the groups that are formed in my classes stay together after the class is over. And some of the students in advanced screenwriting actually go out and make the film. They stay together, they keep working on the film, and they use their own funds and they make the film. And that's happened over and over and over again. Sometimes it's used as part of their portfolio to get into film school. But most of the time, students just, you know, they're on this path, they're committed to the story, they want to see it through. So that's a kind of long answer to your question. But what I try to do in my classes is not only should it be fun and that we're learning something, but I also try to ensure a student's success in learning that skill. And it seems to work, you know. It's one of the few classes, you know, where it's not really about theory. It's really about, you know, by the end of, if you take both classes, you're a screenwriter. You might have to have a real job too, but you're a screenwriter.
I think that's the case for a lot of screenwriters. I want to know, before we go, you said that the best experience really is to just read screenplays. For someone who might not even know what like the format of a screenplay looks like, who has never even like cracked one, what do you recommend?
Well, the best way, I think, is if you've seen one film several times, you have a favorite film, you've seen it maybe 3, 4, 5 times, find the screenplay for that. They're not difficult to find. There's a database of screenplays available. And then read the screenplay. And what you're looking for is things in the screenplay that you never noticed in the film. And then you start to understand how a screenwriter works, right? What do they put in the screenplay that isn't visible in the film, right? Or the version of the screenplay that you're reading online, the final film made some changes from it, and you're able to understand by reading it and then seeing it why they make that change. Right. And so that would be the first thing I would do, is just recommend, you know, and it doesn't really matter what film it is. Sometimes I show clips of films from films that are really bad in order to demonstrate what not to do in a screenplay. But, you know, something like, let's say you've watched Juno, you know, about teen pregnancy 4 or 5 times. That's a great script to read because it's so character-driven. And one of the things about Juno is that you have all these teenagers and you would think that they would all talk alike. But they don't. And so the other thing about reading a screenplay is to just see how, you know, what does the dialogue look like on a page of script? Just, you know, visually. When I watch a film, I tend to leave the subtitles on, even though it's in English, because as a screenwriter, I like to see what the dialogue looks like as text. And that helps me. It helps me write it because I've seen it, what it looks like, right? And so that's really something I think is really valuable in training yourself to be a screenwriter.
Do you have a favorite screenplay?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of The Godfather. You know, 1, 2, and 3. I just think they're. You know, the character, the way the drama, you know, that would be that plus Quentin Tarantino films taught me a lot about how characters speak, you know, and how dialogue tells part of the story and the film tells a completely different part of the story. You know, in my class, I often use the one of the opening scenes of Pulp Fiction, you know, where Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta are talking about hamburgers in Paris, you know, while they're driving to kill somebody, right? And so that dialogue tells you one thing about the characters, and then the visual part is telling you something else. And those are, you know, those are great films to study, as well as, you know, classic films, Billy Wilder films, Paddy Chayefsky, you know, those directors are great writers. Alfred Hitchcock, you know.
Before we go, anything you'd like to plug? Anything you've written recently? Is your film streaming anywhere? Something like that?
My film isn't streaming. There is not yet. Where it's actually being recut for streaming. I'm finishing a novel, a third novel right now. Hopefully get it done by the end of December. And maybe it'll be a made into a film too.
Let's hope. Sean, I want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Lucas.
Hey, thanks.
So thank you so much for listening. How Do I Get Your Job is brought to you by the UW Soundbite Podcast Network, as well as The Daily at the University of Washington. If you have a cool job or you know someone who does, you can send me a DM on Twitter at LookAssSchaefer, one word, that's at LookAssSchaefer, and we can see about getting them on the show. So until next time, please wear a mask and please have a great day. Thank you.